Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today in our scripture, we have Hannah's song. Now let me give you a little bit of background on this scripture that you heard Woody read. You see, the Israelites have been rescued from slavery in Egypt. They made a covenant with God on Mount Sinai, and at that covenant, God told them to keep the covenant, and they were going to do it, and they were being led to the promised land. All was going to be well. But they had to go through a time called the Judges. And during this time, the Israelites failed miserably at keeping the covenant with God. It was a time of ethical and moral chaos, and it really highlighted the need for the Israelites to have a good and faithful leader. So enter the book of Samuel, where we have Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Samuel, who will be a key leader and prophet, and he's going to usher in this time where the tribes of Israel are going to come together to form the kingdom that's first led by Saul and then King David. So here we have Hannah, who is grieving and feeling downtrodden. She feels even abandoned by God because she can't have children. She's one of two wives, and the other wife has been fruitful and multiplied and has constantly picked on Hannah because Hannah's the favored wife, even though she doesn't have children. So one day, Hannah is done with it. She is fed up. She goes to the temple, and she just pours out her soul to God. She prays to God, but she does so not in a vocal way. She stands there in the temple, moving her lips, but nothing coming out. She's praying silently from her heart. Now, Eli, the priest in the temple, he sees her there, and he says to her, "Woman, why are you making a drunken spectacle of yourself?" He doesn't get it. He doesn't know what's going on. He's made up a whole story about Hannah just from looking at her, praying, moving her lips, but nothing coming out. He assumes she's drunk, but we know she's praying. She tells Eli, the priest, that she's been deeply wounded, that she's not drunk as he guesses and suspects and makes up this whole story in his mind, but rather she's praying to God. She's pouring her soul out to God. She wishes just for one child, for a son. Eli listens to Hannah, and he actually gives her a blessing before she leaves and goes home. But Hannah, you see, she prayed to God. She opened herself up. She was vulnerable. She released everything to God in prayer. So when she goes home, she becomes pregnant. And after giving birth, she sings the song that we heard this morning. Her heart exalts in the Lord. Her strength is exalted by my God. This song that Hannah sings is about how God opposes the proud and exalts the humble. She sings that even though we all are flawed human beings, that God is still working. And she sings how God will one day rise up an anointed king for God's people. This song of Hannah might bring to mind for you the song of Mary that we heard during Advent, the Magnificat. Because Mary's song is actually a reflection back to Hannah's song. And if you remember, Hannah is not the only barren woman in our scriptures. There was Abraham and Sarah. Sarah couldn't have children. And then the tension between Sarah and Hagar mirrors the tension here between Hannah and the other wife. And of course, there was Rachel and Leah. Hannah's song is the Israelites' song. It is our song. It's a song of yearning, of wanting, of wondering, where is God? It's a song of grief and of struggle, of chaos and an uncertain path forward. This is a song of transformation. Hannah has such faith and trust in God that she goes to that temple, and instead of ruminating on her situation, she opens herself up and prays. Now, I was meditating on this week about what's the difference between ruminating on something and praying on something. I'm like, am I ruminating about this or that? Or am I actually praying about it? And there is a difference, because when we ruminate, when we get stuck in it, we're sitting in the muck, in the mess, and we feel that we have control over it, that we can find the answers. Or we might just sit in the muck and the mess and not even care about answers. We just ruminate on it. But when we pray, we soften. We relax. We realize that we don't have the answers, and that we need God, our universal energy force, to guide us along, to bring us to the answer. When we pray, we can do as Anne Lamott says, and use the three most powerful prayers: help, thanks, and wow. Help. God, enter in and be with me. Help me, God. Thanks. Recognizing all that we have to be grateful for and thanking God, who does not leave the Israelites, who did not leave Sarah, who did not leave Hannah or Mary. A God, thanking a God who is always present, even when we don't feel it or recognize it. And then wow, sitting in that unknown, difficult spot, literally relaxing into God and trusting that God will work, trusting that things will change, because they always do and they always have, that God knows what God is doing. Now, I know it's hard to sit in that trusting place, that waiting for the wow to be able to sing to God. It's hard to relax and not get tense and worried and think I have the answers, or think if I go somewhere else, someone will have the answers. But there's a great metaphor about this, one that I heard the Reverend Otis Moss share a week or two ago, and one that I came across at another site. It's a metaphor about a carrot, an egg, and coffee beans in boiling water. Here are three images for us visual people. Now imagine throwing these into a pot of boiling water. And then let's take out the carrots. The carrots have been in the pot of boiling water. What will they be like when they come out? They were firm, you know, before going in, the carrots. They were nice and rigid and strong. But after you put them in boiling water, what happens? Soft. Yeah, they're soft. They're squishy. They're no longer that firm, hard vegetable. And eggs. We put eggs into the boiling water. Before they go in, they are fragile. If you drop them in the pot, they're going to crack and go all over the place. And then when you put the egg into boiling water and it comes out, how is it? Yeah, it's hard. It's firm. You've made a hard-boiled egg. Oh gosh, that just made me think of the time I tried to use that for a children's message and it was not hard-boiled. So y'all remember that. That was a disaster. But then imagine with me this third pot of water with coffee beans. And what happens? You can smell the aroma of coffee pouring from the pot. It lets off that rich smell. The water actually changes into coffee, right? All three items, the carrot, the egg, and the coffee beans, they're all put in the same situation, in boiling water. Yet, each responds differently. The carrot was strong and it becomes soft and squishy. It's subject to that boiling water in a different way. It's maybe seen even as weak. The egg, which was fragile before going in, with that thin outer shell, once it's put into the boiling water, it changed It becomes hard on the inside. And then the coffee beans. They change everything that is around them. Which one of these three things do you think Hannah was in her story and in her song? When she came to the temple during an incredibly hard time, feeling the pressure boiling up around her about having children, as the temperature was rising all around her, how did she respond? Did she go soft and squishy? Did she harden her heart? Or did she relax and change everything that was around her? And what are you when the temperature rises? When the situations become hard in life, they are demanding, you can feel that pressure boiling. How do you respond? Are you like a carrot that seems strong on the outside at first, but then becomes soft when faced with adversity? Or are you like the egg that starts off with a really soft outside that's really fragile, but hardens with the heat? Or are you like the coffee beans? The beans that change in hot water to the adversity, and they let off an aromatic smell and change the water that's around them, making it into coffee. They change the situation. I wonder how we might respond like the coffee beans, able to let off a pleasant smell, able to change what is all around us for the better. Well, I think it takes trust in God. And what might happen if you trusted God in a challenging time? How might you respond differently? I know, we tend to do like Eli the priest, and we make up stories of what's going on all the time. At least I know I do it. I make assumptions, like I know what the other person's thinking, or I know what they're going to do and respond. We tend to make up stories about how something's going to happen, whether it's a meeting later in the week, something at work, a conversation with a family member, or how our kids are going to react to whatever. We make up stories all the stinking time. And often, at least my stories, are not always the most positive. I'm not thinking, oh, this is going to go great and everything's going to have wonderful. That conversation with my mother will be so pleasant. No, I often go to that negative place of, oh no, what is she going to say now? She's not going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what if we changed it or just noticed when we make up stories? What might happen if we relax, if we soften into prayer like Hannah did and say the three prayers that Anne Lamott teaches us? Help, thanks, and wow. If we do this, might then there be an invitation for transformation to actually happen? Might we be open to God's transforming work in our lives? Today, friends, I pray that you might recognize when things are tough, and then you might notice how you're responding, and then take a deep breath and relax. And know that God is with you. And might you turn to God in prayer. Maybe then, if we can do this, we can be like the coffee beans and we can transform not just ourselves, but everything that is around us for the better. May it be so. Amen. Friends, I invite you now to rise in body and spirit and sing with us, Sing a New World into Being.